Bucka, 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 bucka.
Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. We were clicking away this morning trying to find for you the best of the most emailed, most viewed, most commented on, most everything online. We think we've picked out the best. Here's the most. All right, Dan, this one might be the best.
You think
Your
so?
Most is pretty good.
Thank you.
At least, you know what? Three people have sent this to me already before this morning. They sent
Wow.
it last night, so.
That's the true test of a
it's
most.
It's true.
Most emailed to the Bryant Park Project. This is most emailed off Yahoo News. Obama related to Pitt, Clinton to Jolie. This is basically a study from the New England Historic Genealogical Society. Basically found that everyone's related to everyone, I guess. Barack Obama is a distant cousin of Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Hillary Rodham Clinton is related to Angelina Jolie. Now, that's new. Now, I don't know if you guys remember a while back, Lynn Cheney had revealed that some studies in the Cheney family found out that Obama was related to Cheney. Well, it turns out that Obama is also related to George W. Bush.
Obama's the new Kevin Bacon.
Right, exactly. But listen to this. Obama is, his distant cousins include President George W. Bush and his father, H.W. Bush, Gerald Ford, Lyndon Johnson, Harry Truman, and James Madison, plus Dick Cheney, Winston Churchill, and Robert E. Lee.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like the Matrix. I mean, he's like the Neo of American politics. It's crazy.
So it means that all those people are related to Shiloh Pitt as
yeah,
well?
Exactly. That's right.
Just keeps going and going.
I guess we're going to do a BPP genealogical study.
There could be two people here who are related to each other on our staff. I'm
related to Tattoo from Fantasy Island.
That's our senior producer, Matt Martinez, by the way. Are you really?
No,
you just
I just made that up.
That's so gullible. Odd. Okay, one of the reasons stories become the most is often their headline. And this is from CNN.com. This headline is fantastic. Honduran president defends melons by eating one.
Why were the melons threatened?
The team,
he did,
well
he did.
Done.
Well, the FDA, the U.S. FDA, has linked 50 cases of salmonella to a certain Honduran grower of melons. So the president of Honduras went on TV and he said, "It's not in our fruit." The 55-year-old father of four then apparently asked people watching TV, "Indulge me for a moment," pulled over a melon, got out a fork and knife, and he said, "I eat this fruit without any fear. It is delicious fruit. Nothing happens to me."
I'm willing to defend a bacon, egg, and cheese by the same method.
As many of the reporters in the room noted, a salmonella infection, nausea, vomiting, fever, cramps, they don't show up for several hours until after, so maybe someone should check on the Honduran president. But he says, not us, not this grower.
Good to know.
Ian.
Hey.
Hi.
This is a most emailed from San Francisco Gate, San Francisco Chronicle. The Wolverine, the kind of muscular, almond-colored animal in the weasel family, with which we're all familiar.
Almond-colored?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was fun.
It's an elegant Wolverine. They hadn't been documented in Tahoe National Forest since 1922, but they have these remote cameras there, and they actually caught one and actually determined that Wolverines are still in the park. It's a big discovery for anyone who loves the Wolverine, as I do. Now, I talked about this morning, and everybody was like, "Oh, X-Men, Wolverine." And I actually have a completely different reference for Wolverine, which is the 1984 movie Red Dawn. And this movie really scared me as a child. Let's hear a little bit of the preview here.
"Not bad for a bunch of kids, huh? Mama'd be real proud."
"Wolverine!
Okay, now, I said Wolverine like that all through my childhood. And I'll just mention, the plot of this movie, if you don't remember it, as I remember it, is that Russians invaded America.
It was Alec Baldwin, right?
Russian?
It was. Was that Alec Baldwin, or are you thinking of Hunt for Red October?
Oh, one of them.
Russians. Yeah.
The cast, though, is amazing. Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey, who we know also paired in another movie.
Yes.
C. Thomas Howell, Leah Thompson, Charlie Sheen. Yeah, and so the kids in this high school, their mascot was the Wolverine, and they got together and beat the Russians.
Wow.
Seems pretty plausible.
No Alec Baldwin.
Not that I can see here. A Harry Dean Stanton.
Close. Close.
Let's not split hairs.
I just want to be right. Rachel.
Okay, my most is from the BBC, and this is a story. The title, the headline is Finn Held Over Easter Island Ear. This is kind of a cryptic title. Basically what happened is a Finnish man went on a vacation to Easter Island. You know, there are all these very tall statues there. There are these ancient statues of Polynesian ancestors, believed to be up to 1,000 years old. And this Finnish man, I guess he really wanted to take one of the ears home from these statues, which are very large. I mean, the statues themselves, they're 33 feet tall and they weigh more than 80 tons, so the ear is pretty darn big. And he was apparently, officials saw him using his hands, climbing up there, trying to break off the ear, which he actually did, and then it crumbled on the ground, and he's been arrested, and they're trying to piece it back together. Don't go breaking off ears at Easter Island.
No. Google Trends, as always expected, after a night of American Idol. American Idol-related searches. Interesting links, though. Chris Cornell search, Billie Jean, and David Cook on American Idol. What do these three things have in common? Chris Cornell, former lead singer of Soundgarden, amazing singer. David Cook, contestant on American Idol. Would like to, I think I want to be Chris Cornell, if you want to say. A lot of people say he's going to be the big winner because he's got this big rock voice. Well, they had to do a song from the year they were born. And he chose Billie Jean, but he didn't choose to do the Michael Jackson version of it. He chose to do the Chris Cornell version of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean.
No,
he was born during Billie Jean. I think he finagled it a little bit.
It was really amazing. It's an amazing performance. It was really skeptical when I heard it. I was like, yeah, no way. This guy can't pull it off. But he actually pulled it off. You want to hear it?
We should
play the last minute of it because it's pretty amazing.
Let's do it.
Let's hear it.
People always told me, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking your girl's heart. Mother always told me, be careful who you love. Be careful what you do before the lie becomes a trap. Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl who swears that I am the one. But the cat is not my son. She said, take my strong advice. Just remember to always think twice.
It's halfway impressive, Dan. You're not an American Idol fan, but you've got to admit.
That's pretty good. I got to be honest, though. I didn't know Chris Cornell covered Billie Jean.
It's great. Actually, I'm going to post it on the...
I want to download it. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to post it on the blog. He did it live at some benefit, and it's very beautiful.
I don't watch that show, and that is enough to make me tune into American Idol.
Pretty
to
good.
Root for that guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very cool.
All right, Matt Martinez.
Well, I have one of the most emailed stories at npr.org right now. It's near and dear to my heart. It's a profile of a junk hauling company in Seattle. I love the idea. I think it's great. I kind of knew these things existed, but really, until I heard this piece, didn't really, really realize they existed. It's like, I would love to hire one of these things. And it's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reported the story.
Junk haulers often have a sketchy reputation. You know, the guy in baggy pants with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth? Back in 1989, the young founder of Got Junk wanted to change the image and professionalize the industry.
Shall we?
Let's roll.
First time in a dump truck.
I've climbed into the passenger seat of a shiny new custom-built dump truck, equipped with customized navigation gear and lots of bells and whistles. Seated next to me in his neat company uniform of blue shirt and pants is one of the company's drivers, Clint Nicholson.
We've done our inspections. All the tire pressure's great. Fluids are great. Doors are locked and secure. And we are ready to call our first customer.
Shh.
You want to get started? Yeah. Okay. Here's my plan.
Okay.
Lynn Locker leads Nicholson and the Got Junk team behind the garage, where there's a sizable stash of yard debris, lumber, and old wood.
The first thing that we're doing today is clearing the rest of the grounds.
Okay.
You know, the basement will come next, because I can always shut the door on that. But
Locker, a warm and friendly woman, explains that this modest Seattle bungalow belonged to her late brother, who had lived here for roughly 40 years.
He just knew how to save anything and everything. He says, "You're going to have a mess, sis." And I said, "Don't you worry, I'll take care of it."
For the next 2.5 hours, Nicholson and three other guys move quickly and deliberately through the piles. First the yard, then the basement, then the garage.
I got almost a full truck of wood and donatables. Metal sander, a little compressor.
They sort through the stuff as they go, making a point to separate what can be given to Goodwill or the Salvation Army, what can go to wood or metal recyclers. The company estimates that as much as 60% of the stuff they pick up can be recycled, resold, or reused. Sometimes what they haul away has significant value, nearly new sporting goods, antique jewelry, classic comic books. But other times it truly is junk, like the recent Kansas City pickup of 8,000 pounds of cheese intended for catfish bait.
We want to do a final walkthrough to make sure we've got everything.
Okay,
we don't want to leave
out. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is incredible.
Locker's brother's garage has been cleared out, swept, and is practically spotless.
Isn't it interesting that we need to have this in today's world? You know, that's how businesses get started, is they feel need, supply and demand, and there's enough of a demand. So for me, who had a problem to deal with, I mean, these guys are a godsend.
Clearly, others agree. The company expects revenues of $150 million this year. The service isn't cheap. Those two truckloads of stuff cost about $1,200 to haul away. Got Junk drivers like Nicholson typically make about $10 an hour. But as he explains on our way to the recycling center, there are some unusual benefits. In many cases, they get to keep or sell the stuff they collect.
There's eBay, there's Craigslist.
And what's the coolest thing you've acquired so far?
Oh boy, I'd love to take you to my house.
Thank you.
Nicholson's furnished just about his entire house.
We got
things he's picked up on the job.
This is the living room. The first item I found when I moved to Seattle was this gorgeous, unscratched Magnavox built into its own cabinet. The European futon, the TV, the barrels, the Lazy Boy.
It's amazing what people give away, Nicholson says. We often tell the owners, this stuff is valuable. But they throw up their hands and say, I just want to get rid of it. And getting rid of things has turned into a bonanza for a company called Got Junk.
That's NPR's Wendy Kaufman reporting. For links to all the stories you heard on the most today, go to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.